Joining us on the telephone to talk about these reports is Jackie Vakes, a Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, hello there, Dave.
I guess the question that I would have for you to begin with is USDA and WASDE did some interesting things to come to their ending stock numbers. First thing they did was, as we talked about this morning, when we had our discussion, there was a potential they would do it. They actually went ahead and did it. They lowered the yield per harvested acre by 1.5 bushels down to 156.5, and then they got creative on the demand side.
Yes, and yes. When you look at the big picture, they all seem to be able to do that. You know, they dropped feed usage by 125 million on corn, and after raising it 925 million. So I guess I can't say that I was surprised, and I don't believe anybody else was. Ethanol went up by 50 million. The thing that shocked people was that the expectation was they would drop the more than just that one and a half bushels to the acre. And I think it's pretty much in line when you look at how late planted we are. You know, I can see them saying, well, we might lose 10%. And for right now, that's possibly a good guess. And you know, we also have to keep thinking back to 2009, where in 2009, we were very late planted and actually ended up with a record crop because we had good warm weather out into September. So the same thing could happen. But the thing that struck me, Dave, is all the changes to carry-in. You know, the carry-in on U.S. corn went up by 10 million beans. They left the same.
Yeah, you're talking 12 and 13 now.
Talking 12, 13, right, on old crop. And even the wheat carry-in went up by 15 million on old crop. When you look at, the world, old crop went down by 1.1 million metric tons. Beans went down by 1.25. Wheat went down by 0.3. Very unusual to see them make those kinds of changes in almost all the categories. We just don't normally see that much of a change. So maybe they feel they have a better handle on what. But boy, there's an awful lot of things that have gone on in this report. Usually, you know, you might see one or two things. Here we're talking about production changes, feed use changes, categories like other changing, and in most cases at the world level, those went up significantly. We don't know what other is, but it does. Stocks use ratio went down, and pretty much rule of thumb across the board was we actually saw the U.S. prices go higher from where they were last month, maybe 10 cents. Beans went up 25 cents, even though they didn't change the numbers at all, and wheat went up a dime. So all in all, it really wasn't a terrible report.
So how does the trade then, going forward for the next 2 weeks until we get to the end of the month, deal with all this decline in production, the 1.5 BPA that we talked about, without any reduction in acres?
Well, I don't think it's unusual. But the part that surprised me was we didn't see any reduction in harvested acres either. But this is pretty typical that they will make an adjustment on yield prior to the June 30th report. Then when we get to the June 30th report, we'll actually see an acreage adjustment perhaps, and maybe even a yield change, which could go higher if they drop out poorer acres, if they believe they have more poor acres or more replanted acres. This could from 156.5 back up to 158, which the trade wouldn't be happy about, but it could be a viable acreage level. I usually look at it as an indicator that we are probably going to lose acres, but maybe this is saying to us, Dave, we're not going to lose quite as many as everybody's thinking we are.
And the everybody thinking that we are is in the 2 to 3 million acre camp at the moment, pretty much, right?
Well, that's true. I'd say 1.5 to 3 million is a very common thought. You even hear some people say as much as 6 million. But even in the major flood that we had in 93, even though it was more limited in area, we lost about 2.3 million acres. You know, the wild card here is preventive and our insurance levels that we have and whether or not people will take preventive plant. And the guys I talked to up in southeastern Minnesota, there are quite a few guys that are going to take preventive plant, but there are also a lot of people who are struggling to do anything they can, and they're going to continue to plant, whether it be beans. Some guys actually have planted into the corn window, but there's more rain on the way. So I think corn is pretty much a done deal.
Let's talk about the beans then. USDA decided, well, let's just kick the can down the road, kept ending stocks the same at 125. So the question for the trade is, do they continue to build premium into soybeans, which they've been doing in recent days, or pull it out?
Well, that is certainly the question, and I don't think there's anybody who has a really great answer to that. You have a camp that says we're going to go up 700,000 acres on beans because of some of the loss in the corn acres. The question will come down to that same area that lost corn acres, will it have the opportunity to plant the beans? And the likelihood of planting beyond the harvest or beyond the prevented plant day, I believe, is a lot less on beans than it is on corn. And so then you have the other camp that is saying we're going to lose 1 million acres of beans because it's not going to get planted. So I think you'll see the trade do, you'll see a lot of bull spreading.
Which we're seeing today with the July beans up 12, now 11 and 3 quarters, and the Noves are down 16.
That's exactly right. I think you'll see a lot of bull spreading. You'll see unwinding of bull spreads. And ultimately, I think the range that they're going to try and stay in is probably from about 1290 to that 1330 that we saw for high today, and just kind of linger there until they have more information. Next Monday's crop progress report most certainly will set the tone. We were 71% this week. If we don't have a really great pickup in planting, and it doesn't look like that's likely, then I think that they'll probably try to trade it again to the highest end of the range. But until we have a much better handle on acreage, it's going to be more range-bound than anything else.
Should we look at the meal as a leader to tell us when this bull spread might be bad, be going into the tank? And by the way, when the bull spread is over, has November hit its high for the short term?
When the bull spreading is over, has November hit its high for the short
term?
Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think that when you look at the fact that November is still holding well above the 50-day, you can't ever count out that we could see on a reversal of the bull spread that we could push ourselves back up into the 1340s, perhaps. But it's going to take probably a very special deal. I mean, yesterday we were 1333. For us to exceed that could easily happen. And so I think that the wild card will be what the weather does more than anything. If we see heavy rains over the next 10 days in areas that are already behind, then we're likely to go up and maybe even test 1350. If we see a crop progress that comes in next week and is basically within expectations, I think we'll just continue to trade in the middle of the range. But you can't count out, you can't see a high right now, just primarily because of the fact that it is the end of the game and we're behind.
Okay.
Bean oil, on the other hand, you know, meal had a pretty good report. It didn't change very much, but bean oil stocks were up by 95 million pounds, and so that's always a little bit of an anchor, you know, on the entire complex.
Thank you, Jackie.
Well, thank you, Dave.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois.